Movie Squad is sponsored by Luna Palace Cinemas, WA's premier independent cinemas, bringing the best film content and cinematic events to Perth. Come and enjoy the Luna Palace experience.
Toast.
Toast.
Right here. Right now. The most important thing in life will always be the
Movie Squad.
Salute me, familia.
Hello and welcome to the Movie Squad podcast, your weekly compendium of all things movies that we cover on Breakfast with Pam every Friday morning at 7:30 a.m. and now compiled for you in podcast form. My name is Simon Morado.
And I'm Cecilia Allen.
Cecilia, so great to have you join us this week while Tristan Fiddler is away on special assignment because we have some really interesting movies to cover. In the second half of today's show, we look at Kinds of Kindness, the new film from Yorgos Lanthimos starring Jesse Plemons and Emma Stone, and there is plenty to discuss there. But Cecilia, we do kick off with you. What do you look at first this week?
I look at Maxine, which is the third film in the X franchise by Ty West, starring Mia Goth as Maxine, who's descended on Hollywood to become a big star, set in the 80s, but things don't quite go to plan when she gets there. So there we go.
Let's hear a bit of the trailer now.
Name five celebrities who got their start in horror movies.
Jamie Lee Curtis, John Travolta, Demi Moore, Brooke Shields, and
Maxine Mintz.
I don't like walking out here with a freaking Night Stalker guy in the loose.
The Night Stalker.
Night Stalker.
Night Stalker.
He's terrorizing Los Angeles.
I can handle myself.
So said every bad girl in Hollywood.
Maxine. I'm the private detective hired to find you.
Every Friday on Breakfast, we take some time for the cinematic arts. We look into the brains of the blockbuster babe, Simon Morado and Cecilia Allen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Cecilia, we haven't caught up in a minute. It's been a hot minute since we've been together. How are you?
Good. It's nice to chat film. So yeah. It's always good to be in the chair talking about movies that are out or due to come out.
Yeah,
so
absolutely. Tristan Fiddler away on assignment, but always lingering like a sort of looming presence in a nice way. Oh. Looming in a nice way, like a guardian angel. You know, is that Simon's looking at me with, like, honestly, trepidation.
It's just a strange way to describe Tristan, I suppose.
I think he's looming in a nice way.
He's,
you know?
He's hovering.
Oh, I think that's worse.
Yeah, that is worse. But Tristan, we salute you.
Tristan, have fun in your assignment. Hope everything's well. Now, we've got a lot to talk about this morning. So with fear in my absolute heart, we start off. Cecilia, oh, God, I actually wince to talk about this movie. Talk to me about Maxine.
Maxine. So this is a film which is the third in Ty West's X trilogy, which kicked off with X back in 2022, in which Mia Goth played dual roles, both Maxine and this elderly woman, Pearl. Have you both seen X? Well, I assume
absolutely
you have not seen X.
Absolutely not. I love Mia Goth, but this is where I can't be doing it. I can't be going to
and
see
I believe
her.
You reviewed X.
We definitely reviewed X.
Back
and
in the show.
And we reviewed Pearl, which is the prequel.
The prequel.
But technically released after X, and a big fan of both, and a big fan of Mia Goth. But Pam, you say you're a fan of Mia Goth. You haven't seen X, you haven't seen Pearl. What are you a fan of from?
Well, look, from the Tumblr days, I remember her being around and seeing all these wonderful imagery, this wonderful imagery of her when she was like doing a bit of modelling. And then I remember seeing her in Emma, that film with Anya Taylor-Joy, the kind of like odd Emma. I don't remember who directed it, but it was really beautiful. And I really loved her in that. And I kind of love her presence in, you know, different Vice and ID videos, this sort of wonderful, strange, childlike joy that she has, which I'm sure lends itself to a horror sort of trope. But I am scared to watch any horror movies that she's in, and that seems to be the only movies that she does at the moment. So I can't watch her do anything.
Well, that's so funny you say that, because, like, this idea of Mia Goth exuding a sort of childlike joy is very remote to my experience of her from these films, but then also, you know, being introduced to her in Lars von Trier's Nymphomaniac.
Yes,
oh,
of course.
I did see that.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, okay. I forgot she was in that.
Yeah, she plays the friend of Joe, the main character in that, but then becomes a bit of a nemesis towards the film's end or in the second part of that series.
That's right.
What about you, Cecilia? Are you a fan of her?
Yeah. I've seen her in a few things. Suspiria.
Of course. She's great in that.
Yeah, A Cure for Wellness as well. So I think she's really kind of cemented herself as a, you know, kind of scream queen type, you know, person. So just for context, I probably should give people a bit of a brief overview of X. That was set in the late 70s and centred around a cast and crew making a X-rated film, a naughty film, on a Texas property. And it was owned by an elderly couple who turn out to be a bit bonkers and try and kill everybody, essentially. Maxine is the, you know, sole survivor of this event. And originally it was going to be a standalone film. But while on set, West and Goth kind of got talking and they thought, hey, let's make another one. So that's where they followed this up with Pearl, which Goth also helped pen, I believe,
yes,
as well. But Pearl is an origin story for the title villain. So this film, Maxine, now takes place in the 1980s. And Maxine, the title character, she's the sole survivor of that event back on that rural farm. But now she's kind of descended on Hollywood to become a bit of a star. That's what she wants to be. But, you know, she finally gets her big break. And at this time, there's also a kind of serial killer who's targeting, you know, Hollywood, you know, actors and actresses and things like that. And she's targeted by this particular stalker, dubbed the Night Stalker, while she's trying to go through her, you know, big break and, you know, rehearse and things like that. So the film also stars, you've got Kevin Bacon in the film as well. You've got Bobby Cannavale. You've got Michelle Monaghan. Lily Collins is in this film. You've also got Halsey. So it's a big cast compared to the other films as well. So it's certainly growing as this, you know, franchise as well. So, and Mia Goth really kind of embodies that role of Maxine. She's this real kind of force to be reckoned with. And she also did such a brilliant job playing Pearl as well. I mean, the credits rolling, you know, over her face as she's smiling in that film is so unnerving. So I think she does a great role. And I think she has fun with both of those roles. I definitely enjoy her playing Maxine a lot more.
Do you really?
I do.
That's very interesting.
I'm keen to hear your thoughts then about that. But yeah, I think she's done really well. She's also due to star as the bride in Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein, which is, I think, slated for release next year.
I just wanted to do a
year.
Rom-com again.
Again? Where is this rom-com?
Oh, not rom-com.
I don't think we would ever see her do that. But I think, you know, Ty West as well, he also mixes these elements of, you know, 80s horror in this film, as well as a lot of nostalgia there. Is that, you know, aesthetic of the 1980s is really evident in this film. He also really carefully chooses his moments to shock the audience. He's one that it's blood and gore, but it's not continual. It's just these specific moments. And every time he does it, he always gets you. And there's always that ugh moment. So I think this is an excellent addition to the X franchise. I do not know where we're going with it. We may or may not see more films with the particular characters, I'm not sure, but definitely I really liked Maxine. I think it's probably my favourite of the three, so it's in cinemas now.
Simon is nodding, and I can feel that there's a
contrarian perspective
bubbling
coming. But look, no, I actually do like Maxine. I don't think that I'm about to come at you, Cecilia, about it. But I do feel, I think it's the weakest of the three, mm-hmm. or at least it's the one I enjoyed the least.
Yep.
With the caveat that I still enjoyed it. And I think, you know, Ty West is a great filmmaker. And even going back to the, you know, going back almost 15 years now, The House of the Devil was this great, you know, it felt like a video nasty that you discovered. Mm-hmm. You know, it was definitely a film that tried to evoke the 1980s. Has a great small performance from Greta Gerwig with a massive blowout. Highly recommend checking that
one out.
He also made a film called The Innkeepers,
yes,
which is also really good and was really like 90s influenced. It felt like like the equivalent of like Hocus Pocus if it was really scary?
Yeah, that's the only film of his I think I've seen, to be honest, from the, you know, this franchise.
Yes.
So.
And so I love what he does, and I love what he's done with this series. And X, Pearl and Maxine all feel very disparate and interesting, and they're very fun. But this of the three, you know, because now it is set in 1985, it is definitely more influenced by, you know, the giallo pics of Dario Argento and Mario Bava to a degree, but then also Brian De Palma, you know, mm-hmm. movies like Body Double and Blowout, not to be confused with Greta Gerwig's Blowout from The House of the Devil. But what I, by the nature of that pastiche and riffing on those films, it's not a thriller minute movie. It's right. not overwhelmingly scary, I mm-hmm. don't think. There are long stretches of mystery. And I guess I was hoping, and I was always waiting for Maxine to kind of kick into the next gear, and it kind of doesn't. It sort of just has this low rumble to it throughout. So I was a little disappointed after, you know, X is such a great Texas Chainsaw Massacre riff.
Yeah.
Pearl is this, like, Technicolor Wizard of Oz, if it was a horror movie kind of riff, which is really fun as well. Maxine, again, by the nature of what they're trying to do, just wasn't as innovative or as exciting to me. Mm-hmm. But Mia Goth is great. And as you mentioned, this more expansive cast of familiar faces especially, really fun to see them being really hammy. Kevin Bacon doing the biggest and worst Louisiana accents, you know, as this really gross private investigator. And even Housie in a very small role. Moses Sumney, mm-hmm. another musician who pops up as a sort of dorky video store owner / friend of Maxine.
You could never imagine Moses Sumney as a dork. Like, that is not a dorky character.
Very unexpected. And Elizabeth Debicki, the tallest woman in the world.
Oh, you know? I forgot to mention Elizabeth Debicki. She's Australian too, isn't she?
She is Australian, and she's really fun mm-hmm. as the director of The Puritan 2, this film that she's making starring Maxine. So, yeah, I'm a little bit more, not apprehensive, I guess a little bit more deflated mm-hmm. by okay. Maxine, but really great to see the trilogy fulfilled, I guess.
Mm. Yeah. I think I was probably not expecting much when I went in, so perhaps I wasn't as disappointed or let down as yourself. But to be honest, I probably need to rewatch X. It's been a few years since I've seen that. And then, yeah, Pearl, I think, is such a complex character.
And I kind of miss Pearl.
Watching that unfold. Yeah, I think Pearl. So.
So does Mia Goth play like three different characters across these
No,
different
so Maxine
movies?
Is the character from X.
Oh, okay.
And she plays both Pearl as an old woman and Maxine in X, and then Pearl as a flashback, and she plays the young Pearl in the movie Pearl. I mean, I think X is probably, you know, not your tempo, Pam.
Yeah,
I know that.
Thanks.
I know that.
Yeah.
I reckon you could watch Pearl by nature of it being a very interesting character study that does get a bit bloody.
Is it just like a I watched Love Lies Bleeding and I just got told when to close my eyes kind of situation?
I think so.
Okay,
I
great.
Think so.
Okay.
And Maxine Simile is, I would class it more as a thriller than a horror movie. You know, there are moments of gore, but they are kind of far and few between.
Mm-hmm. I can do a thriller. I just can't do like a Chainsaw Massacre situation.
And that's, so you don't need to see X. I do think Maxine is enriched by having seen all three films, mm-hmm. but it kind of does stand alone. Like, I think you can go in blind.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, you could. I think all three films are so different as well, and that's the beauty of it. But, I definitely need to rewatch X, because, I mean, I don't know, that could be my favourite. And then Maxine, then Pearl. I'm not sure. I don't know. I put Pearl at the end for some reason, just because it was a little bit slow, but also the complexity of the character really intrigued me. So,
we want to hear from folks.
Yeah.
0405-921-921. What's your favourite of the X trilogy?
What's your favourite of the X trilogy? What are your thoughts? We're going to come back and talk about Kinds of Kindness next.
This is it. Do you think you can do it? Sweet dreams are made of these. Open your eyes and look clearly at what's going on around you. We might all be in danger. Some of them want to
use you. Hi.
Some of them want to get used by you.
I love you.
Some of them want to abuse you.
This isn't love. Some of them
want to be. You're listening to Movie Squad on RTR FM, your sound alternative. I'm Pam Boland. Simon Morado and Cecilia Allen are your blockbuster babes this morning. We've been in a bit of a scary zone talking about Maxine of the X trilogy. Is that what it's called? Yeah. And we've had a couple of people get in touch to say their preferences. Danny saying that she's a Pearl fan, but yet to see Maxine.
And she's a Pearl girl.
She's a Pearl girl. She's a Pearl girl. And a couple of people saying that they preferred Pearl 2, but no names attached, so anonymous love for Pearl this morning. But we've got a couple of Pearls on the text line. If you want to get in touch and let us know what you think about this next movie, we'd also love to hear it. Kinds of Kindness is on the cards. We're kind of sidestepping out of horror and into something still a little bizarre. Simon, talk to me about Kinds of Kindness.
Yes, this is a new film from director Yorgos Lanthimos. Forget Yanis Antetokounmpo. He's the true Greek freak, Yorgos.
And,
yeah, I was preparing that this morning. I was like, Pam's not going to have any
that went right
this,
over my head.
That's going out to the listeners. Someone will appreciate that. But Yorgos Lanthimos, fantastic director. Cecilia, you're a fan of his work?
Yeah, so not so much his recent work. So for some reason, I couldn't quite get through The Favourite or even Poor Things.
What?
I appreciate the colour palette of Poor Things, and I think Emma Stone is wonderful, but I still haven't seen the end of that film. I started watching it after work one day and I kept falling asleep, and then I tried to watch it again the next day and I've still got about 20 minutes left.
That's so interesting. But his earlier films,
Earlier films, I really enjoyed the film The Lobster and also A Killing of a Sacred Deer. So The Lobster starred Colin Farrell, who was also in A Killing of a Sacred Deer, as well as Barry Keoghan, who people will know from Saltburn.
That's right.
As well. So enjoyed those films and probably need to go back and rewatch Poor Things.
Give it another try.
I really liked it. You should. Yeah, it was good. It was good. You should watch it.
I think I just need to, you know, when you're at home and you're watching stuff and you're kind of distracted by your phone, I think I just need to put my phone away, sit down, and just completely give myself to this film.
Lose yourself.
And that's what I have a real pride of place in the sense that I've been fortunate enough to see all of his films in a cinema, which is a rarity, right? Like, both as a critic and just in general. I'm yet to see his very, very first film, Kineta, but starting with Dogtooth, which I actually discovered by chance at the Revelation Film Festival, you know, going back 15 years, and then his follow-ups, Alps, and you've mentioned, of course, The Lobster and The Killing of a Sacred Deer and more. A really interesting filmmaker who has stayed true to his own sense of peculiarity and I guess has seen the mainstream, you know, meet him halfway effectively. And he now has these movies that get nominated for and win Oscars. And even Dogtooth and The Lobster were Oscar nominated in certain categories. So Kinds of Kindness is interesting in that it's a bit of a victory lap for him as a filmmaker. He is reuniting with Emma Stone, his most recent muse, I suppose. But it's a trilogy of short films. They all clock in at about 50, 55 minutes. So it's not a short movie by any stretch. But they all sort of recycle happily ideas, motifs from his, you know, filmography. And it has a recurring cast of actors. So Emma Stone, Jesse Plemons, Willem Dafoe, Margaret Qualley, Joe Alwyn, Mamadou Athi, and Hong Chau, they all appear throughout all three films playing different characters. And Pam, the first film sees Jesse Plemons playing a man who is in the employ of a wealthy millionaire, played by Willem Dafoe. And Willem Dafoe's character basically outlines what Jesse Plemons is meant to do all day, every day, what he should wear, what he should eat, what he should say, what he should do, if he should have sex or not. And this is something that Jesse Plemons plays by the rules of until he is asked to kill a man.
Oh.
And this is where their relationship starts to fray.
Okay.
Again, that is the one-sentence logline of the first film, and I'm not going to get into any more detail. The second film, once again, stars Jesse Plemons as a police officer who his wife, played by Emma Stone, has gone missing at sea. And then when she returns, he becomes convinced that she is not the same woman and puts her through a series of tests to see if she is indeed committed to his being his wife, or is in fact actually the same woman who left. And then the third film sees Emma Stone take center stage, and she plays a woman who has abandoned her husband and young daughter, has joined a cult led by Willem Dafoe and Hong Chau, and is driving around towns in America with Jesse Plemons, a cult member as well, and is seeking a woman who is fated to resurrect the dead.
What?
Yes. So those are the three stories of Kinds of Kindness. But what I like about this film in particular, Cecilia, and I am a fan of The Favourite and Poor Things, but unlike their previous works, or Yorgos's previous works and his co-writer, Efthymios Philippou, The Favourite is based on history. Poor Things was based on a book. This is them sort of taking stories out of their own sort of demented minds. And a bit like The Killing of a Sacred Deer was based on a Greek fable, this feels like them taking inspiration from fantasy, supernatural stories. And there's sort of this dark voodoo to the movie that really does evoke The Lobster and The Killing of a Sacred Deer, and Alps in particular. If you haven't seen Alps, and I know it's his least seen film, highly recommend that film. That's about a service where you can hire people to pose as your deceased loved ones to help you adjust to them or reintegrate them back into your life. So really unusual works, unusual ideas, and there's this through line of the three movies regarding control, which really reminds me of Dogtooth, which was all about a family controlling its daughters. So how does this feel to you, Cecilia? Maybe we'll go first, because, you know, knowing that it is straying from The Favourite and The Poor Things milieu and returning to that sort of cosmic weirdness.
Yeah, I love the sound of this, the absurdity of the three stories. I like the anthology type feel to it as well, with the three separate stories, but you've got the, you know, same actors. I really enjoy Jesse Plemons as well on screen. So each of those stories has really interested me. So I'm going to grab myself a ticket and I'm going to see this film, because I feel like this is going to go back to, the Yorgos that I really enjoy, and also that, absurdity that I'm familiar with. I mean, all of his films are, you know, unique and absurd, but I think this one, having a bit more of a darker overtone by the sound of it.
Definitely.
With this one.
And and certainly it has, you know, the kind of stilted dialogue, the very awkward moments. I think this is his most obviously a comedy kind of film, and I say that with some trepidation, because all of his films are pitch black comedies. This one feels like it does set up actual, like, comic punchlines regularly, but it is also uncompromising. There were several walkouts of the screening that I was in attendance of.
I always love to see a walkout, and at what moment they decide to walk out.
Because there are moments of gore. There are some traumatizing things that happen in this movie. It is, in that same way, also harking back to Dogtooth and Alps and The Killing of a Sacred Deer. So be prepared for that. Pam, I don't know if this fits your criteria of not being scary, but being something that you're willing to subject yourself to.
I'm not sure. I've heard so many mixed reviews about this. So that kind of fits in with what you've said, you know, with people walking out. But obviously you're a fan of it. And you've kind of answered my question my question that would have been, is this weird, you know, just in the regular Yorgos Lanthimos way, or is it weird for Yorgos Lanthimos? And I think explaining it as harking back to movies before, you know, like Dogtooth, those earlier movies from him, the movies that I like from him are The Lobster, Poor Things, The Favourite. I like those. I really enjoy those movies. And if it's kind of going into that zone of being a little weirder than that, that's fine. But it definitely puts me in a different, more sort of hesitant position, especially if it's leaning into gore and some things that are a little troubling. I'm a little more, you know, there's a little more trepidation in going to the cinema, but I am interested in this movie and I am curious about it, especially given that people are sort of flip-flopping between liking it and disliking it. You sort of want to be a part of that discourse. If you've seen it and you want to tell us what you thought, 0405 921 921, let me know. It's a really curious discussion that's been going on. I've seen a lot of really strange takes online about it too, but a couple of things that I have seen have, in a lighter fashion, been to do with some pretty silly needle drops that come down in the film. Simon, what about this song? Where does this come in?
This opens the film.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics. What a great song.
It's a great song. Why does it... That's a weird choice for me. That's a gold star for me, though. I'll go to see a movie.
Well, this is where I think when we talk about classic Yorgos Lanthimos, when this kicks in and the movie begins with this, right, like over the Fox Searchlight sort of logo, I was like, here we go. We're back. We're so back.
We're strapped in for a ride.
But you know why? Because these needle drops, and people who've seen the trailer, if they know anything about the film, what they know is that it has Emma Stone dancing vigorously to Cobra.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic and a great moment in the film and a very funny moment. And I should say that this played the Revelation Film Festival last week, and they organised for there to be a dance troupe that performed to the Cobra song prior to the film, dressed as Emma Stone in their kind of, you know, suits, which was really enjoyable. But Dogtooth also has a great moment where the two girls in captivity in their own home perform a dance to Flashdance.
Oh.
So the kind of fusion of these, you know, pop songs, they have recurred throughout. There's another example in The Lobster that's evading me at this moment in time. Alps also has a series of dance sequences because one of the characters is a gymnast and performs to popular music. So he's always used American, or I suppose in this case, you know, international music, but famous pop songs as a contrast to his very Greek sensibilities and his sort of dark humour. So, yeah, really fun to see the movie kick off with Sweet Dreams. And for, you know, Margaret Qualley performs How Deep Is Your Love by the Bee Gees in the film in a very funny way. And it just kind of, you know, he's having a laugh, as they would say. He's having fun. And it is a film that is meant to prod and provoke you. Mm. But at its bones, I think it is intended to be a very funny movie about very serious things.
Okay, so do you reckon I'll like it?
I don't know, but it has great performances. I truly don't, because I think, you know, my wife and I both really enjoyed it, but like I said, we saw people walking out of the cinema.
Okay.
Jesse Plemons is great. He won Best Actor at Cannes for his performance here. Emma Stone is fantastic. The whole cast is really good and playing very different kinds of roles, which is important.
Yeah.
You will walk away with a lot of questions. That is absolutely the case.
Okay.
These are sort of... They have short story feel to them, right? In the sense that they're maybe half-formed ideas that wouldn't fulfill a feature, but in this very specific kind of anthology movie type, they're very satisifying.
Okay, that's good to hear.
They're going to leave you asking more questions than when you came in.
Yeah, the most sort of pointed response I've heard from this movie from friends so far is, I think Yorgos Lanthimos is surrounded by yes people at the moment, and he maybe needs to get out of the bubble, and this is a yes Yorgos Lanthimos movie. So it's going to be interesting to see if it falls into that category or not for me. I really want to go see it. If you've seen it, of course, get in touch. I'd love to hear about it, but Kinds of Kindness, out in cinemas now. Maxine, also out in cinemas
Absolutely.
Now. And you'll be able to go catch them wherever you would like. I hope you've got lovely weekend plans. Revelation Film Festival, is that continuing this weekend?
It is, I believe. Yeah, final weekend. So if you haven't caught anything yet, this is your last chance.
There's some really fantastic screenings, old and new, all sorts of favourites going across the weekend. But Cecilia and Simon, for another great week, thanks very much.
Thank you. So there you have it, two reviews, maybe even four reviews, right? Because Kinds of Kindness is three films.
It is, and it's so strange because I looked at, well, not strange, but I looked at the film length and it was like 2 hours and 44 minutes and I went, oh, I don't know if I can do it. But the fact that it's split into three different films, I can do that 100%.
I was nervous as well, to be honest with you, and I was a bit surprised because I was like, I thought these were meant to be short films and they're definitely, you know, short films are usually like one-act movies, like these little mini plays to a degree, and Kinds of Kindness's shorts are definitely longer than that, but they do still have the cadence of a short film, which is similar to the cadence of a joke. You know, they set up in punchline, and that's different to a feature film. But to see it drawn out over a movie or, you know, over an hour was quite interesting. And I think it's that nature of these sort of abrupt punchlines that'll maybe send people into this out of the cinema going, "Oh, you know, come on, Yorgos." But they tickled me greatly. So I look forward to hearing your thoughts if and when you eventually see it or when you finish Poor Things, in fact.
I need to get to the end of that. It's just one of those films that I just need to sit down and dedicate the time and just watch it.
But that's okay, Cecilia. Of course, you don't have to love it all. I do want to go back to Maxine quickly. I have two questions for you that we didn't get to cover on the air. One, and this I just learned about. This is more of a silly question. But do you know what Ty is short for? Do you want to guess what Ty is short for? Ty West?
Ty. For some reason, I go to Tiger West.
That would be amazing.
I don't think that's correct.
It's Timon.
Timon.
Like Simon, but with a T.
That is interesting.
Timon.
What is Timon. I wonder what the origin of that is. Timon.
I don't know. It's only occurring to me now that it might be pronounced Timon, like Timon and Pumbaa. But it is very strange to me because I've never seen a human with that name.
No.
Or a non-animated character.
And even when
name.
You read it, it looks interesting, doesn't it? It's like it's not. Yeah. Well, there you go. It's Timon or Timon.
Timon or Timon. There you go. So that's what Ty West stands for. Anyway, we've now covered that, which was very important to me. I literally read that as we were going to air on the Wikipedia page. And I was like, Timon. Maxine, you mentioned, not offhand, but you mentioned during your review that you prefer Mia Goth. This is my question. Do you prefer the character of Maxine to Pearl, or do you prefer the performance of Mia Goth as Maxine to Pearl? Because I see a lot of similarities, obviously, between the two, and that's kind of the intention of the trilogy, right? Mm-hmm. There's this echo of ambition between these two characters and aspiration. But talk a little bit more about what you enjoy about the character of Maxine.
Yeah, I think in the first film, X, we kind of get introduced to Maxine and she's a lot more shy, or we think she's shy at the beginning, and then we, you know, learn a bit more about her. And she's obviously embodying Pearl, who is a much elderly woman in that film. And then in Pearl, she plays Pearl, but the younger version of Pearl. So we get to learn a little bit about her history there. And she's completely unhinged, if you like. So I like Pearl as the younger Pearl because I love the complexity and of that character and how unhinged she is throughout that film, and you're like, what is she going to do next? She's just going to snap at any moment. And then when we get to Maxine, I feel like Maxine at this point is at her most confident. So I feel like throughout the film, we get different stages of these characters, which is what I really love. But I feel like in Maxine, I feel that Mia Goth loves playing that character and really embodies, I think she embodies both characters brilliantly, but I feel like or get the sense that she enjoys playing Maxine a lot more. So I see that come through. But yeah, the characters, I love seeing them develop over the course of these three films, because essentially we get two Pearls, the younger and the elderly, and then we get two Maxines, the one who before this homicidal event takes place, and then the one after where she's like, you know, I'm done being in these X-rated films, I'm going off to Hollywood and I'm becoming a star type. So I feel like, yeah, we get to see so many different versions of the characters throughout them.
Well, I love that, and I think that's a really good articulation of it, and I definitely agree and see that she's having fun as the Maxine, of Maxine. You know, there's this great moment at the very start of the film where she exits an audition and she walks past a line of the actresses waiting in line after her, and she says, you know, y'all can go home because I effing nailed that. And the strut of Maxine, the confidence of her is really fun. And obviously we see that's a bit of a facade, you know, over the course of the film. But I go back to Pearl, I guess, because, yeah, she is completely unhinged. But she is also a very sympathetic character because of what happens to her and what sends her down that spiral. And then also, you know, the tragedy of Pearl as an overarching story. Yeah. I want to ask you, you know, the end of X had a teaser for Pearl. And we knew by the time Pearl came out that Maxine was going to be the end of the trilogy. Ty West and Mia Goth have said, well, that's kind of it when... Never say never, but there's no teaser certainly at the end of Maxine. I know because I stuck around. But I do want to know, what would you want to see next? Would you want to see Pearl 2, another film that's set between the events of Pearl and X? Would you want to see Maxine on a new adventure? Would you want to see another character visited in the 1990s?
I think I'm happy with it as a trilogy. I feel like I've seen enough. I think if I was to see any more, I do need to see more of Pearl, just because I feel like we've only had that one film. What happens to her next, potentially? Because we only see her when she's quite young, growing up on this farm in, you know, rural Texas. And then, you know, in X, she's just this elderly woman.
Yes.
So there's a big stretch of time there that we
50
could,
years that we can cover.
That we could cover. So who knows what her and her husband got up to before the, you know, crazy events on that Texas farm. I mean, they could have got up to anything. So I feel like if we were to go anywhere, that's what we need to see. What about you? What do you think?
I would love to see Pearl too. I mean, I'm satisfied. Well, I'm not unsatisfied with the trilogy. I wish Maxine had landed more for me. I just really do wish that. And maybe upon reflection down the track, I'll watch all three in a row and I'll go like, oh no, like it kind of comes, you know, it kind of crests. That's how the series comes to an end. I would have liked to see one more Spike, maybe something really 90s. That could be fun. But no, I think overall as a trilogy, really satisfying in a lot of ways. One last question for you. Did you know Lily Collins sounded like that?
No. So I did know she was British.
I knew she's Phil Collins' daughter. I don't know what I expected, but it was alarming to hear her real voice.
Yeah, so I definitely knew she was British, but I didn't know that was the dialect, the particular dialect that I was going to hear. I thought it was going to be more of a London fancy accent, but it was more a...
Yorkshire. North Yorkshire, yeah.
Accent. So, yeah, surprising to me as well. And at one point I was like, is she putting that accent on? But, I'm pretty sure that's her normal.
I don't believe so, because it occurred to me, I'm sitting there, mouth agape as she was speaking, going, oh, I maybe have not ever heard her speak before, because I don't watch Emily in Paris. and I saw Mirror Mirror, you know, 12 years ago, whatever it was. But I was like, well, duh, she's Phil Collins' daughter. What did I expect her to sound like? But it was nonetheless very jarring in the moment.
She's got quite a small role, but definitely a memorable role too.
There you go, Maxine and Kinds of Kindness. We always want to hear from you if you have seen those films. So 0405 921 921 or give us a call, 9260 9210. When we're on the air, you're not listening to us live currently. Cecilia and I have gotten on with our lives while you listen back to this podcast.
Don't call now.
So don't call now, but next Friday perhaps when we're back on the air. Tristan will return, obviously. But Cecilia, we look forward to having you back in the future. Thank you so much for seeing Maxine in advance and then joining us for the conversation.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll catch you next time on the Movie Squad podcast.